tithing, of whom speaketh the prophet this of himself? Let me read it. It says, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? I would say this, that this phrase, when he says, I pray thee, it gives us more insight to his desire to be taught, correct? And you notice when he makes the statement in verse number 34, when he says, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man, he's acknowledging his ignorance. He's acknowledging his confusion. He doesn't know. But he wants to be taught. He has humility. He has desire. I don't know how many days ago it was, but in the devotional book that we've distributed for this week, there was an illustration about a car that was broken down. And the man that had his car broken down is on the side of the road there, and a man comes by and offers help, and he says, no, I'm okay, I got it. And the one that offered the help was Henry Ford. And who better to have provided assistance to the individual than Henry Ford himself, right? But the reality is that the man that had been broken down, he didn't have humility and desire like we see here with the eunuch. He was like, no, I'm okay. I don't need your help. Okay. Henry Ford went on his way. It's interesting when you look at the illustration that was used in that book, Henry Ford didn't insist on helping. Let me say this, God doesn't, I believe that he teaches us some things. He takes us through some various schools of learning, and we'll look at that as we go through this series over the next several weeks and months. But the reality is that if we're going to learn, we have to have a teachable spirit. And how do we develop that teachable spirit? I would say that humility and desire are keys to being teachable. If you have no desire to learn, you don't have a teachable spirit, right? Have you ever met someone that has no desire to learn? And I remember when I was coaching Little League Baseball with Joseph when he was a little younger, and we're out there and coaching. And some of those kids, you're trying to teach them how to play baseball, and they don't want to learn. They're there because their parents want them to play baseball. And you're trying to teach them, and they're doing, it looks like they're doing ballet moves out in the outfield instead of paying attention to what's going on the field. And you're saying, this kid's going to get hurt, you know? And just no desire. We can look at that in a whole host of avenues or arenas this evening and speak about it. We're looking, as we think about this subject matter in this series of Teach Me, looking at it from a spiritual perspective. I want to learn the Word of God. I want to learn who God is. I want to know Him in a more intimate way. I want to have that teachable spirit. It begins with humility. Desire is essential. And let me say this, as we continue looking through this passage of Scripture, I would say that His profession and His baptism reveal understanding or reveal learning has taken place. Look at it, if you will, in verse number 32. The Bible says this, the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. It's Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answers Philip as they're looking at this place where he was reading in the Old Testament. And he says, as we made note of a moment ago, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? I love verse number 35. The Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen? So as we think about the reading and we think about the confusion and the ignorance that is evidenced through the questions that are given in verse number 34, the eunuch offers up these questions because there's confusion, there's ignorance. He doesn't know, but he wants to know. He says, I pray thee. He's already demonstrated the humility. How can I except some man should guide me? He's demonstrated his desire. And so now with that humility and that desire, with that teachable spirit, now Philip is able to go up into the chariot. He's able to see the passage of Scripture that he's reading, and he's able to start in that same passage, in that same Scripture, and preach unto him Jesus. I think that it would be fair to say that preaching is not always teaching, and teaching is not always preaching, but oftentimes preaching includes teaching. Amen? Is that fair? The Bible in the book of Ezra teaches us, it provides really an outline of preaching, that you read the Word of God distinctly, you make, give the sense of it, and enable the people to understand it. And so we understand here that as he's preaching unto him Jesus, that we could say that he's teaching him. He's teaching him the truth. He's teaching him what it is that he's reading in Isaiah 53. And the Bible tells us in verse number 36, I want you to notice that the Bible says they went on their way. I'm not sure how long the preaching was in verse number 35. I don't know how long Philip took to explain these biblical truths to this Ethiopian eunuch, but for however long it took, they were there, and it says they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water. And I want you to notice again the question that is asked of the eunuch. The eunuch says to Philip, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Is that not, again, a revelation of humility and desire? He's asking a question. You know, when we ask questions, sometimes we sit in places where sitting in a classroom, having some type of interaction, maybe it's not even in a group setting, but sometimes we're embarrassed to ask questions. And the reality is that there are times in which we're embarrassed to ask questions, especially in a group setting, because we don't want somebody else to think we don't know something. You know what I've learned over the years many times? There are other people in the room that have the same question that you have. And many times they don't want to ask it, neither do you. And so the question never gets asked and the teaching never can take place. And the reality is that asking questions is important. We should ask ourselves questions as we read the Word of God. We should go through the Scriptures, and as we go through and evaluate and study the Word of God, we're asking ourselves, what does this mean to me? What is it that God's trying to show me? What is He trying to teach me? Why did God include this in the Word of God? Have you ever asked yourself that question? There'd be times I'm reading the Scriptures and I'm saying, God, I understand that this is Your Word and You've included this, but help me to understand why You've included this. Why is it that this piece of information, this portion of Scripture, why did You deem it necessary to be in the Word of God? Not that I'm questioning God or His authority for doing so, but I want to learn why it's there. I want to have a better understanding. And so, evidently, as his time in Jerusalem, the Bible tells us in verse number 27, they had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And so, obviously, there was some level of exposure that this man had to the to baptism in order for him to ask the question. And he says, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And great truth that Philip reveals. Again, we've used this many times over the years. As you look at the truth of not only the mode of baptism, but who it is. Who is the candidate for baptism? We don't just baptize anyone because they want to get baptized. We don't baptize infants. We don't baptize people just to baptize them. We understand that it's believers' baptism by immersion, right? We understand that, and that's why baptism is so important. That's why for many generations, Baptist people were referred to as Anabaptist rebaptizers. Why? Because we would reject the baptism of the state church, because we don't believe in infant or paedo baptism. And you see that here in this portion of Scripture. He says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip doesn't just say, oh, if you want to, let's go. No, he answers, he says in verse number 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And notice what this eunuch says. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that a great profession? a great declaration. I would say to you that he didn't have the same opinion in verse number 30. He didn't know, right? Of whom speaketh this the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip preaches unto him Jesus, and he shows them how that he is the Messiah, and that he came and he bled and he died and he was buried and he rose in victory, and he is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And you think about the preaching again. I don't know all that is contained within the preaching, because the Bible simply says that he preached unto him Jesus. But obviously, because of that humility and because of that desire, there was some learning that took place. Amen. A teachable spirit leads to learning, right? If we have a teachable spirit, it's going to lead to learning. It's going to result in learning. So we find that he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says that he commanded for the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Isn't that exciting? A man that was confused, a man that was ignorant of the truth. He was reading, he had been in Jerusalem. He was reading the Old Testament. But God, in his grace and his mercy, he takes Philip and he says, here's where you need to go. There's the chariot where you need to go. And Philip obeyed. And he's reading. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I, except some man should guide me? And by the end of the interaction, the man is saved and the man is baptized. It's precious. It says in verse number 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. But notice the last phrase of verse number 39, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's a blessed ending to this portion of Scripture, that he went on his way rejoicing. The Bible tells us in verse number 40 about Philip, and we see where he is and what's going on there. But when you think about the subject matter in which we're dealing with this evening, of a teachable spirit, and understanding how is it that I can develop a teachable spirit, as I evaluate my life, are there some things that would hinder me from being teachable? Are there times in my life where I'm not teachable? Are there times in my life where I have that response of pride instead of that response of humility? Are there times in which I do not demonstrate the desire to learn? I'm not eager to learn. We find here that as this Ethiopian eunuch illustrates in my mind an example of someone that has a teachable spirit, and I hope as we've looked at the passage this evening that you too would agree that he illustrates for us someone that has a teachable spirit, and that we'd say, I need to have a teachable spirit. And the result of having the teachable spirit is that learning has taken place. We've mentioned that part of our series will conclude at the end of several weeks, months of studying this subject matter. We'll conclude with a lesson on evaluating our growth, evaluating our learning. How can we evaluate? Have we learned? Well, the reality is that if we looked at this passage of Scripture, we could evaluate by his own life that, yes, there was learning that took place. And he responded properly to truth. And he responded, he accepted that truth, and he made his profession. He followed the Lord in baptism, and we find that he went on his way rejoicing. The Scriptures are mute to anything else about this man. You can read a variety of historical accounts of the influence and impact that this man had in the region as he returned back, and there's some good information out there. The Scriptures, however, are silent as to the man. But I'd like to think that this man's like a missionary. Amen? And he went on his way rejoicing. Why do you think he was rejoicing? Because he had learned, right? He went for the purpose of worship. You can see there's a desire there, no doubt, as he's going to Jerusalem. And you find that even as they're leaving, that he's still reading the Word of God. He had not yet found out the truth while he was there in Jerusalem, and he's reading, he's desiring to know. And God graciously and mercifully gives Philip the direction to go and to be with this man, and he learns, and he goes on his way rejoicing. Listen, when we learn, we ought to rejoice. Because we understand that God is teaching us His Word. We speak about it from the perspective of spiritual learning and spiritual growth. The reality is that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we use that phraseology of grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's we're learning. We're growing. We know more about Him, about the Lord now than we did when we first got saved. Amen? And as we walk with Him, as we've had our theme this year, walking in the light, the more that we walk with Him and the closer we draw to Him, the more we learn. And the more we apply that truth that we're learning, and then we have the opportunity, as we looked at our lesson from last week, we think about two purposes for learning, the application of truth, but then the dissemination of truth. And that's why I say that this man is like a missionary. He went on his way rejoicing. I think he wanted to tell some other people. Again, as we would look at some historical records that are provided, we see that there are many accounts that would give testimony to that end. Again, the scriptures are mute to it, but we find that he went on his way rejoicing. It's a wonderful thing to be informed. Amen? I mentioned as we study the book of 1 John on Sunday mornings that God wants us to know some things. The word know in some form is used repeatedly in the book of 1 John. But here's something interesting. And maybe for you it will happen as well. But sometimes as we kind of focus on something, all of a sudden you start seeing it in other places. That ever happened to you? You focus on one thing and then you kind of see it in other places, right? And so I've been speaking and preaching in 1 John, and I've been studying and preparing and talking about no. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be informed. He wants us to know. I've mentioned several other passages of Scripture in the New Testament where God wants us to be informed. Paul says on more than one occasion, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He wants us to know. But I've been reading through the books of 1 and 2 Kings the last couple of days. You know how many times the Bible talks about that you would know and God gives a truth that He wants the people to know? How many times it was that you would know that there's a God in Israel? Why? Because how often the children of Israel were guilty of idolatry. Sure, I've read those books I don't know how many times. But as I focused on this study of 1 John, all of a sudden that word know, K-N-O-W, just keeps popping off of the pages of Scripture. God's always desired for people to know Him. You go all the way back to the Scriptures, you look at all sorts of accounts of the Scriptures and all of the interactions of the Lord with His people and how that He would demonstrate to others that they would know who He is. I think about Pharaoh tonight. Did God not make Himself known to Pharaoh? Sure He did. Pharaoh begins by saying to Moses, who is that God? I should let you go. Right? That's how he begins. And through a series of events, God graciously and very distinctly reveals Himself to Pharaoh. His magicians say this is the finger of God. Right? I think about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Mighty man, great power, world empire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not going to bow, right? We know the story, we know the account. And what does he say? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Right? Is that what he says? Goes in the fiery furnace, heats it up way higher than it's supposed to be. The guys that put him in there die because of the heat. And then the Bible uses the word, he's astonied, astonished, we would use. Why? Because he says, didn't we throw three of them in there? Yes, sir. And they were bound. Yes, sir. But there are four, and they're walking around, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. At the end of that event, did Nebuchadnezzar have an understanding of who God is? He made a great declaration that no one could speak amiss about their God. And so this evening, as we think about this truth of having a teachable spirit, God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know this book, and He is the divine teacher, and He's offered to us an invitation, come and learn of Me. And He wants us to learn, He wants us to grow. The people that are being written to in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us, the end of the fifth chapter, for in the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you. And he goes on to explain to them that what they needed to be taught were the basics of the Word of God, the first principles. He was not speaking that to honor them. It was a spoken to their shame, because they were supposed to be learning at the time you're now supposed to be teaching, but you have need that one teach you. And so as we think about our Christian lives, when we think about our walk with Christ, it is God's design and God's plan that we grow, that we learn. But what hinders learning is not having a teachable spirit. So this evening, when we think about all of the ways that God's going to teach us, and we'll look at several examples over the next several weeks, the thought of this lesson, I hope, will be impactful. Because if I do not develop a teachable spirit in my life, learning is not going to take place. If I constantly say, I know, if I have no desire, and we see the humility and the desire of the Ethiopian eunuch, how can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip to come up into his chariot with him. They read the passage, and then Philip preached Jesus unto him. What a great passage of Scripture. I believe a great illustration of someone who had a teachable spirit. And oh, that God would help us, that we too would have a teachable spirit. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for this biblical example tonight, the life of this Ethiopian eunuch. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, perhaps looking at it afresh and from a slightly different perspective or angle. I pray tonight that we would acknowledge this teachable spirit of this man, and that we would desire that we too would have a teachable spirit. God, You'd help us to develop a teachable spirit in our lives. Help us to learn of You. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help it to not be said of us that in the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you. Help us, God, to grow and to learn. Bless our time of prayer. We do thank You for the privilege of prayer. Thank You that You hear and answer. They're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Bless now, and we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.